Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Horizon Radio. We offer you a weekly podcast sharing spiritual information that can help you see beyond your horizon. We exist to inform, educate, and elevate. My name is Tutu, and I'm your host for the show.
Greetings, greetings, everyone. We are live today on June 22nd, technically the day after solstice, although we're dealing with a three-day solstice period. We could honestly say that today is also an aspect of the solstice period. But it all depends on how you look at it. Some people just see the 21st. But anyway, regardless, you are welcome, whether you're joining us now on this day or you're joining us in the future. This is the last in the series, A Secret Art of Divine Speech and Communications. And today we're going to be diving into ways spirits communicate with you. Specifically, I wanted to broaden this to be something of an experience rather than just me talking. And what I mean by this is, if anybody has questions, please call in. If you have your own unique experiences you want to share, please call in and do that as well. The number that you can reach us at is 602-753-1678. Again, that's 602-753-1678. So please call in if you have any questions. What are we going to go over? I mean, to start, one of the things I thought would be interesting is not only to talk about the ways that spirits communicate with us, but also, are we insulting spirits? I know that it may be of a leading question because it implies that we're capable of insulting spirits, right? Okay, so I'm going to cover that last. So for those of you who came in for that particular section, it is going to be covered after we cover all of this. And the reason being, by the time you listen to most of what I have to say, it'll probably answer that question for you. That's why I'm saving it to last. And then, of course, we'll go over some of the types or methods or ways spirits communicate with the rest of us out there. Before I get started, and the last thing, I do want to talk about how to have a better communication. So I'll just provide a couple of my own tips, maybe more than two, of ways to have better communications based on personal experience. I also want to say everything I talk about is based on personal experience as well as my mentoring experiences that I've had with my own personal mentors and those that I have worked to support over the years. So it's not just coming from books or hearsay. It's coming from real life experiences that I've had. So let's get into the housekeeping. I keep forgetting to do these, so I'm going to try to make an effort here to do these all the time. Notice I said try, because I just don't think often about doing these. However, they're important because there's quite a bit that goes on in my ministry besides just talking to people. And I tend to put those out on Facebook and some other means of communication, but not on the show. So starting today, they'll be on the show. The first thing, and probably the most important thing, is that we're moving to YouTube. I've been saying this for the past couple shows, but it's definitive now. We're definitely moving. Our very first show on YouTube will be July 6th. It'll still be called Horizon Radio, but it will be now on YouTube. This allows me more flexibility. In addition, what happened just before this show started, I couldn't log on. There were these problems going on. Now, I'm not saying that I won't have problems on YouTube, because if it's electronic, I'm sure there's going to be some sort of issue at some point. But it's just, I like the idea of being able to have a little bit more control over this. So what I might even do is have some pre-recorded shows that I can put on YouTube in advance. But anyway, so I had some trouble getting on just now, and luckily it worked out, and I was able to get on time. So July 6th, which is 2 weeks from today, we will be on YouTube. So if you're following me on my YouTube page, definitely you'll get more information about that. If you're following on Facebook, you'll get information. But make sure you stay connected, and if you have any questions, you know how to reach me, 22@soto22.net. Number one. Number two, what's going on? Oh, I'm still actually recruiting individuals for the apprenticeship series that I want to start this year. So if you're interested in that, do follow up with me. It is by interview, meaning you have to interview to work with me one-on-one at that level. It's not just anybody that gets in, and you have to have certain levels of knowledge. It makes it easier for you. But there's more information right on my site on the apprenticeship that I have available. Also, new clients. I'm accepting new clients for soul-to-soul one-on-one mentorship. That's going to continue throughout the summer. And the Osumasa course, which is my signature 12 weeks course, is also going on. So be sure to take a look at that. It offers a self-ministry certification for those of you who go through the entire 12 weeks. What else is going on? Okay, June, I have solstice coming up in about 4 days or three, 4 days, I guess. That will be in Maryland. For those of you who are in the area, be sure to look it up. And if you're interested, it's a family event, and it's very semi-private. You have to register to participate. So make sure you register. I think I'm closing registration for that tomorrow by noon, which will be Friday. The July, I will be making some personal appearances at some upcoming festivals. I'll be in Virginia in July. More info on that to come. August, I'll be in Delaware and in Southern Maryland at the Chesapeake Herb Gathering. Actually, Delaware is something different. It's Illuminate Delaware. And then for Southern Maryland, it'll be another event, which is the Chesapeake Herb Gathering, which is one of my favorite things in the world. And then for December of this year, there will be a major solstice / birthday celebration, because that is my actual birthday. I was born on December 24th. Some of you already know that. Some of you know of my various other birthdays, which are basically reborn days. But this one is the actual birthday where I made my entrance into this planet. So definitely look for more information on all of those. And I will repeat that sometime later or at the end of the show for those of you who do not catch it early on. All right, so let's get started. I think I put somewhere on there that there's an aspect of spirit communication that is child's play. I don't know where I put it, but I know I've put it somewhere before. I want to clarify what I mean, okay? When I say child's play, I am not referring to immaturity or emotional immaturity or lack of respect, lack of honor, none of that. I'm specifically referring with the aspects dealing with imagination and natural curiosity. Okay? Imagination, natural curiosity, and one other thing that children are really good at. They're very honest. They tell it like it is. They don't go around the bush. They don't. And I'm not talking about all children here. I'm talking about the ones before they get too much dust over over themselves or too much ego develops. I'm talking about the really young ones. They have a vivid imagination, natural curiosity, and they speak from a much more truthful and honest place than some of us grown-ups do as we get older. So when I said this is child's play, that's what I'm referring to. I strongly encourage anyone who is involved in spirit communication of any kind to develop emotional maturity, because that is what will differentiate you from, someone who is dishonorable, disrespectful, and even insulting. But we'll get more into that a little bit later. But my point is, this is what I meant by child's play when I wrote it or put it in some document not too long ago. Before we get into those 33-some aspects, different ways that we communicate with spirit, I want to talk about what it takes for an energy to make the effort to communicate with you. It takes energy, and many of you know this, just like it takes you energy to exercise, for example. If you don't have it, you're not going to be able to run that mile or 3 miles or walk or whatever you do. Or let's say just basic, You're not feeling well. You're not able to cook. You're not going to be able to cook if you don't have enough energy to do it. It takes energy as well, but the form of that energy is spiritual energy, which is the chi, the ashe, the unseen energy that we often talk about. So if an energy, if a spirit actually makes the effort to communicate with you, recognize it took effort. And that could be bad or good because it depends on where that effort's coming from. It could be coming from you and it could be something negative, but we're not going to go into that today. The point is it takes effort. So if it is, let's say, ancestors that are speaking to you, that's a lot of effort to come and talk and have a conversation with you about something that's important to your development, more than likely. Not always, but, you know, sometimes. So it's important to understand that the way we listen and the way we actively engage back in this form of communication dictates what happens going forward, whether or not we receive the protection we ask for, the clarity, and so on and so forth. This is where the respect can come in. For those of you who have not listened to the other couple sessions that I did, I talked about ways you can get ready for communication. I believe I talked about protection, making sure you have focus and clarity, having clear intention before you even get started. I'm pretty sure I also mentioned make sure you're in the right circle. And when I say right, you're in an elevated circle of people doing the work, because the energies that you're around when you're doing ritual work or spirit communication affects what you're going to get. Not only affects it, it is what you're going to get. Whatever. So if you're in an atmosphere of fear, you're going to get more fear. If you're atmosphere of love, you're going to get more love. Atmosphere of whatever, you're going to get more of what you're putting out, including those others that are in the group with you. And also, I'm not sure I mentioned being careful, conscious of manipulative energies. I think I did. But please go on and go back to those two or three previous sessions I did on divine speech and communication to get more information. Okay, so the next thing I want to mention is, besides it taking effort to communicate with you, and that there are things you can do to ensure the communication itself is pure and it's good quality and it's elevated and so on, the last thing would be the kind of questions that you're going to bring to the table. First of all, Oracle is a very elevated type of spirit. So people use the word Oracle very loosely, very, very, very loosely. I see people referring themselves at Oracle. I think at one point I did, because of the movie The Matrix and that lady in the kitchen. And I found myself always answering questions while I'm in the kitchen for people. And I remember the scene where the Oracle in that movie, Neo came in and she turned around and knew everything about him, whatever. And so at one point I was referring to myself as Oracle, and then I was quickly corrected by someone who knew better than me not to do that, because that term is really restricted to an elevated, a very highly elevated form of seer. Not that I don't consider myself to have a certain level of elevation, but I definitely, at this point, would rather refer to myself more as a seer than an oracle. But that's a whole other topic. I mentioned this to say, when you're using quote-unquote oracle cards versus talking to your spirits or ancestors and other types of subtle energies, there's a whole range and spectrum of entities that you could be having conversations with. The highest level, obviously, or one of the highest levels, would be your oracle levels. So-called master energies, which you hear often about, you know, certain masters. Master depending on which tradition, right? So that's the big question. Which tradition is this particular energy a master of? So you want to kind of dive a little deeper into that and what that means for you and for the work you're trying to do, you're here to do. So proper questioning of your oracle spirits, entities, or whatever is as important as anything else that we're going to mention today, probably the most important thing. You want to make sure you elevate the quality of your questions. Okay, what do I mean by elevating the quality of the question? A poor question gets a poor answer. Unintelligent question gets an unintelligent answer. ineffective question we'll get, and because the direction you shed the light or the spectrum in which you're narrowing yourself into is what you're going to bring in. So the more elevated you are, the more intelligent you are and effective, and you're probably saying, well, what do you mean by intelligent? I'm not talking about schooling. I'm speaking about somebody who actually has done the work and is wise, has done enough of the work to be able to ask questions a little bit more wisely rather than just throwing out questions without giving it much thought. Intelligent questioning can take many different forms, and maybe one day, if inspired, we'll go into specific, we'll dive a little deeper into that. I know I've talked about active listening or effective listening in the previous show or show before that. So be sure to check that out. That's just, that was the very first show we did. I did. So that very first show talks about artful listening. But when it comes to artful questioning, that's something that takes practice. If you're not good at it, don't fret. It takes time. We can all master things like that or get better at them. It just takes practice. What I find is when you give direct questions or precise questions, you get direct, precise answers. Don't waste your oracle's time, right? So recognizing it takes energy to do this work on your behalf. So be sure that you're actually putting in the effort on your end before you go to the oracle or your oracles or your spirits. Too often, many of us go to mediums, and when I said too many, I said too often many, I don't do that. I actually, up until probably 4 years ago, I may have contacted a medium once every 10 years or whatever. In between that, I was doing a lot of studying, a lot of work on myself. I was not interested in using somebody to do work that I could do for myself. I knew the journey had to come, the work had to come for me. Now, were they useful giving me guidance that served for a period of time? Yes. You know, I did my research. I selected people that were, you know, enlightened and high-level intuitives, high-level readers and so on. So I wasn't just talking to somebody who just got a deck of cards and is practicing on me. I really invested in finding the right individual. So it wasn't until recently when I began to narrow down a little bit more specifically what I needed that I, because of the work I'm doing, I've been consulting more frequently. But again, I would encourage you to use it as you would use any kind of remedial tool, because you technically are your first and main source of information. And when I say you, I don't mean all of you. You include your community, meaning you need to go ask individuals that are more knowledgeable than you, mentors, experts, specialists. If you don't know anything about finance, go to a finance specialist. If you don't know anything about meditation, go to a meditation specialist, and so on and so forth. The idea is to be resourceful. I'll just leave it at that. You being resourceful is the first and most important work that you can do. So not to waste the time of your divine oracles, because they really should be called, and I say should because there's no should really, they're best called when it's something you cannot figure out for yourself, right? Otherwise, it becomes just an habitual pulling on resources. I'm going to give an example briefly of someone who asked me a question, and this was not a client. This was just a test type of thing I was doing. And this person asked me, is there anything I need to know about? And then they gave me the part that they wanted to know about. That is a broad question. So the type of tools that you use to answer that question will determine the depth of information you can get from something like, is there anything I need to know about? And then whatever the thing is, you know, my coming surgery, my relationship with my community, whatever the question is, community, my relationship with my children, or blah, blah, blah. That's such a broad question. It wasn't a bad question. What it was is a question that has billions of possibilities, or really just a lot of possibilities. So that was a good place for the person to start, and based on that, we got additional questions or more concise questions as we narrowed it down. Once I was able to determine, by the way, I did a much broad, the tool I used was my curios, which are bones and shells and so on. So I was able to get this very broad answer. And from that broad answer, we began to narrow it down to some things that were more specific to what this individual was inquiring about. So I hope that example gave you a little bit of something to go with and help you. Just so I can catch my breath a little bit, I wanted to just recap what we've gone over to this point. We've talked a little bit about some of the housekeeping things that is going on with sort of Tutu and the things that I'm doing. And also we spoke about what I meant when I referred to child's play as being an aspect that we can utilize when doing spirit communication. And by the way, this came in as a question. That's why I put that in there. And also, I briefly talk about some of the effort it takes to communicate, for spirits to communicate with us, and then mention some past shows. Okay. And then lastly, what you may have already heard was some of the proper, some of the ways to be more effective at questioning and asking proper questions. Okay. So now we're going to dive into what you probably came in here for, which is what are the innumerous, never-ending ways that spirits can communicate with us? So the reality is, as many ways as exist to be, those are the ways spirit can communicate with you, which means we could have an endless show on this topic. Literally, it could go on forever. I selected 33. Many of them interweave with each other. So if I say something and I mention something that's closely related, it's because I wanted to pull that one out because I thought it was worthy to pull it out. It doesn't mean that, that's basically it. That's what it means. For example, the very first thing I'm going to talk about is the clairs. Clairaudience, clairsentient, clairaudience, sentient. Oh, God, I forgot it. Voyance, excuse me. So seeing, hearing, sensing, and so on. There's tons of those in ways I could express. We could talk about this. Here's what I mean. If you're naturally clairvoyant, clearly your spirits are going to communicate with you through that means. If you learn to be more clairvoyant, same thing. The more effort you put out, the more effort you get back in. Those are usually talked about on so many different forums, I'm not even going to go into them. I think you can just Google and find a lot of good information about it. And also, I'm going to talk a little bit about some of them in other ways as we go into our 33. So I'm going to just keep moving. Number two is what I'm calling concept downloads. This is like a group of information. It's not just a single topic. It's a massive amount of information. For example, a book or a radio show. You're giving this entire spectrum of things that just downloads into your consciousness, and you're just automatically writing it, you're automatically speaking it, you're automatically whatever. There's no filtering, or very little. I'm not going to say no. There's very little filtering that's going through you. You're just automatically doing it. That, by the way, the more I think about it, should have been at the very end of this, because I'm saving the best for last in this case. That one really should be one of the ones that's toward the end. The fourth one, and I know I'm skipping the third one, there's a reason. The fourth one is your dreams or night visions. Dreams are, in my tradition, huge. And when I say my tradition, I mean voodoo, I mean Haiti. And I don't know anybody in my family who has not had prophetic or key dreams at one point or another. And I'm not just talking about dreams that are hard to interpret. I'm talking about dreams where the details are so exact that this person literally was watching like a movie of what's to come, or a movie of something they need to do. I mean, that's how clear this stuff comes into my family. And for me, it comes in using various symbols, which I've learned to decipher. And another way it comes in through to dreams is actually daydreams. I daydream, well, I'm not going to say I daydream as much anymore, but when I was younger, I daydream a lot. But now I daydream when I have the time. But that's an amazing way that spirits communicate with us. And there is quite a bit of information out there about dream interpretation. I'm going to tell you what I've learned over my years of experience. Dream interpretations are very subjective. Yes, there are universal codes, universal meanings, ancient codes, ancient meanings that cross boundaries of time, space, and so on. But ultimately, you are the best person to interpret your own dreams. Do you need help sometimes? Yes. Do we all need help sometimes? Absolutely. But ultimately, we are the best, because what we must take into account is that our dreams are representation of the life we are living and have led up to this point. So every detail in your life is unique to you and unique to that experience you're having in the dream or your night vision, okay? By the way, day vision, same thing. Every experience you're having as you're walking around is unique to you. Nobody can copy that experience exactly. It may look alike. You may all be in the same group, the same fraternity, the same workplace, the same neighborhood or whatever, but there's still that uniqueness that's only based on your perspective and your vision and your purpose and your understanding and so on and so forth. All right. Number five, meditation. Okay. We all know about that one, right? So just take my word for it. Your spirit guides and other entities communicate with you during meditation. And we'll dive more into like how as we go into the others. The how is really what some of these I talk about will cover going forward. Number six, hearing with your inner ear. When we're saying inner ear here, I'm not saying inner ear like the inside of your ear physically. I'm referring to the sound that is in your head that is as if you are in a cave. Well, I don't know. Not many people go into caves. What's a good example? No, what I've noticed is sometimes in a bathroom or in a closed space, sound reverberates and hit the walls, especially if they're pipes. That's the kind of sound that it sounds like when you're hearing it from your inner ear. It's actually in your head. Okay, so it bounces around that space more in a way, and it's amplified, not echoing, but amplified in such a way that. So that's inner ear hearing. Not everybody has this ability. Most people don't. Most people, when they're saying they hear something, it's not words they're hearing or it's not sound they're hearing. It's more of a sense, or it might even not even be a sense or hearing. It might just be a feeling, an emotion. And that's where we have to be really careful. A lot of times it's a feeling, and it may not even be what we think it is. But the actual hearing of the inner ear is audible inner ear. So you actually hear it. It isn't like you just think you're hearing it. All right, so moving on to number eight. That's the audible outer ear, hearing something outside of the space, okay? It's almost as if you have someone projecting a voice, and that someone would be you, by the way, but a whole other topic. But projecting a voice outside of yourself to another space, another room, right, of your house. That's the outer ear, just listening, or maybe even hearing your name or something being called or sound, and I'll go into that a little bit later too. So that would be number six. Number seven, seeing with the inner eye. Now, that's become very popular recently with the third eye movements and everybody studying their first eye and how to activate it, getting it online, declassifying the pineal gland and all this other good stuff. People begin to see things with the inner eye. That's wonderful. For some, the key is to know what it is you're seeing and recognize the various forms and various levels of subtle energies and exploring it in a way that's also elevated. That way, you're not also projecting your own fears in your inner eye, which happens a lot with people who go into first eye activation and they have all these fears, they have all these issues, and then they don't realize that it's going to manifest when they do inner eye, when they see inside of themselves, their fears are going to manifest in a way for them. That may not be pleasant. It's often not pleasant. Okay, so we talked about the outer ear, inner eye. Okay. The outer eye, number 9. Yeah, apparitions. This would be seeing things, right? Seeing things out there. Now, a lot of people will tell you they see things. Just like with the inner ear, a lot of people saying they hear things, they don't often hear it. Same thing with seeing. They don't often see it. It takes a lot of energy. And also your vision, the spectrum of light that you're dealing with may not even be the spectrum of light these entities can show up in. Often they're showing up in your peripherals. They're showing up in the upper part of your the curvature of your eye or the lower part or so on. They're not necessarily showing up right in front of you. But that's a whole other area to go into. But apparitions, if there's an apparition being shown to you, let's say on a video or something like that, that's a pretty interesting. Okay, I'm not gonna go into that. That's definitely gonna touch some people. I'll say it this way: the best way to have that sort of apparition connection is to understand the various tools you need to create an apparition, because in actuality you're creating it. Okay, so the various things you need, the scent, the sound, the energy you need to feed, and so on, to actually give it enough energy to make it happen. By the way, you can give it enough energy just by thinking about it. There's people who spent years and years and years thinking about a particular issue that they can't stand, somebody they don't like or something, and then manifest that particular energy or entity eventually after 20 years of thinking about it and mulling over it and wishing for it, or 10 years or 5 years, depending on how strong this person, the spiritual strength of that individual. Okay, moving on. Number 10. I'm calling that one by proxy. This would be through other people. You know, I have stories of getting phone calls from good friends. And when I say good friends, I have a very small circle that I consider, and it's not really friends, since we know friends mean fiend, which is not a positive word. People are considered to be my spiritual family. Those individuals, I allow. Because it's a permission you give for someone to be able to serve that role for you. Not everybody needs to be in that space. And I think I've talked about this before. So those individuals I allow to give me information, I do not allow anybody to do this, because a lot of people are still working through their stuff. They don't know how much stuff they're working through. And too often what they're sharing is coated with dust. I'm going to use the word dust now because I just saw the compass, the golden compass. I don't watch television often, but maybe twice a month there'll be something that I want to see, an old movie or something I remember. And often it's actually sometimes divination. I'll get a sense I need to rewatch something that I watched maybe years and years ago, because there's something in it that I need to see or relate to. So I watched the golden compass the other day. Anyway, what I was trying to get at is the information sometimes can be another way of getting information by proxy. Okay, music is another one. You know, I've heard specific words coming through certain songs. I know people who, and I'm not referring to some of the thought out there that, you know, a lot of the music is coded with different. That may be true, maybe not. I don't listen to so many things that I would be able to answer that. But what I can say is, personally, I've experienced music and sound communication of spirits through those means. Now, live music, like drumming, I would elevate, and actually I will put that back to number 3, because forgot to go back to number 3, and there was a reason for that. So I'm going to just say consider that to be number three. Live music, including, if not more importantly, drumming. Because with the drum, you're dealing with so many different levels of spirit communication just using that oracle, or that tool, excuse me, not oracle, but using the tool itself. A well-made drum. We're not talking about plastic drums, but a drum that's made with animal skin and so on and so forth is a divination tool in itself. Okay, so drums. Number 12. Physical sensations, like having cold spots, chills, goosebumps, scratching in parts of the body, nose, ears, you name it. Depending on how tall you are, you have an entire body where you can actually ask spirits to communicate to you or with you using one of those things I mentioned. You know, I want to feel an itch on my nose if it's time to blah, blah. You know, that's how you communicate with me. You make that agreement, boom, you now have our own code and own communication code with your entities and spirits that you can use when you need to know whether or not you need to do something. That's a simple tool that you can use. Anyway, moving on, number 13, words. Well, clearly, single words. Those are the ones that I love because those involve me doing decoding and deciphering, which is always exciting. So I'll get one word and I got to take that word and dive into it and see, you know, pick the word and pull it apart and see what it means, the first part, do the etymology study, do the research of the history, and before you know it, I figured out what that word really means. It's a beautiful experience for those of us who like to study that. Number 14, electric items or online items, TV, computer, phone. I've mentioned the TV or show earlier. Those are programming. They contain spiritual information. All of them do. This is one of the reasons why we have to be very careful how and what we allow in our space when it comes to electronic media. There are spirits communicating with us through this media at all times. It may not be your spirit, so that's the only thing. Number 15. That feeling of being watched, and many of you, if you're on this show, listening to the show, you probably have had one or two experiences in your life where you just knew something or someone was behind you or in the side of you and so on. And if that's the case, by the way, I think I mentioned in my kitchen is one of the places I often have spiritual encounters. And I used to, you know, turn around and try to see what it is. And I've now kind of gotten into more of a, okay, what's going on? Tell me, speak to me kind of a communication. And I find that by doing that, I get so much more good stuff coming through. And I can have a conversation. Now, I don't normally do this out loud. It's in my head because I'm not going to go in and start speaking to myself. I sometimes do speak to myself, but not necessarily in that particular situation. Okay, moving on. Symbol, another one of my favorites. I talk about symbols all the time, or symbology. I've been into this for so long that it's inspiring. It's just one of those. It's like a toy for me. It's like a game for me to study symbols and talk about symbols and research symbols, and especially symbols across centuries and symbols across cultures. And it's a fascinating, beautiful, beautiful area of study. Now, having said that, it also is protective. The more symbols you know, the better you are at being cautious, weary of manipulations that happen in your external environment as a result of how symbols respond to your energy, your brain. Okay, I'm at 16, and I'm noticing I only have 10 more minutes on the show. I'm not going to rush. I just may go over an hour today, which is rare, but I will allow that. So let's move on to number 17, numerology, patterns, and sequences. Oh, my God, this has been out and about, and everybody's talking about, this is how I know my angels are talking to me. This is how I know this is talking to me. It's like, yeah, of course. Everything out here is a form of communication, folks. Everything. So yes, your numerology will be your 11s, your doubles, your triples, your 12s, your 22s, two twos, your 33s, your, and so on and so forth. And yes, it's exciting, but remember, you have so many more. And a lot of people get so caught up in numerology that they get stuck on it. And while getting stuck may appear good for a short time, because sometimes we need to stay in something to dive deep into it. I get that, and we all do it. I do it, and so on. Careful not to get so stuck in a number that you never move beyond that number. Very, very, very careful about that. We have numbers are one way our various spirits can communicate and communicate with us. Patterns and sequences and so on. Okay, number 18, sense. Another one of my favorites, because I've got one of those impeccable nose. I can smell things, you know, from whatever. And I've been like this since I was a child. And I, at one point, I began to lose that. And I know some of you can relate to this. You know how sometimes things flow in and flow? So at some point, I began to lose my ability to smell unique scents. And then I realized what was going on. I was losing touch with my deeper intuition. I was losing touch with my knowing. I was losing touch with me. I was focusing more out there. So as soon as I dive back in into greater self-knowledge, greater self-acceptance, greater self-awareness, my nose, my ability to smell things came back with a vengeance. But when I was younger, it was horrible. I couldn't go in certain rooms because I could smell remnants of things from like a week before, you name it. And one of the things I sometimes will do, and people will see this, me doing this, and I'm sure it's an eye catcher, is I will smell things before I touch them or work with them, you know, and that includes, you know, any object. If you ask me to work with an object, you may notice I will smell it. Yep, that must be the canine aspect in myself or other type of energies. Moving objects, that's number 19. Moving objects. Okay. Remember earlier I talked about the amount of energy it takes to show up, for spirit energy to show up? Same thing with moving objects. It takes a lot of energy for an object to move. So if something is throwing things about in your place, you have been feeding it. Because it's not getting the energy from anything else but you, you more than likely. Yeah, there might be a vortex. There may be other things going on near and about. There may be people next door. But my understanding up to this point is that, generally speaking, it needs for you to see it, for you to experience it. Again, this is important. For you, whoever's doing the experiencing, there has to be an aspect of you that is in alignment with this energy. Okay, so keep that in mind. If you're seeing it, you got to own a part of it, or at least understand what's pulling it to you. See, I just had to take a little drink here. So number 20, disappearing objects. Okay, just because I've had this happen to me a few times. Disappearing objects, or you put something someplace and you go looking for it, you know you put it there, and I'm not talking about just forgetfulness here, it's not there anymore. Or something is right in front of you, but you can't see it, and somebody else goes right there. Okay, so disappearing objects, that's another way our spirits communicate. And I'm not going to dive into that one deeper. That's one of the fun ones, actually. And I say fun because usually it's done as a way to say you're not paying attention. Slow down. Pay attention. Focus. All right, number 21, confirmation. Any kind of confirmation. Let's say you have a ritual, you perform a ritual, and ask, you know, if this ebo is accepted, or this sacrifice I've done, whether it's in the form of your labor or it's actual sacrifice, if this is accepted, please let me know, and you get a confirmation of some sort. Food that is given, if it's accepted, give me a confirmation. And be specific about the confirmation you want. Like, I remember the last thing I did with the group, the confirmation I asked for was for the turtle symbol or something relating to the turtle, other animal energy. agencies we work with. And, of course, the turtle was present on our way out, so we knew, okay, we did good. Confirmations are good. Number 22, good ways of communicating and paying attention. And also they support you in developing your own intuition. They're really, really good at that. At least that's what I find. 22, pictures and imagery. And I'm talking about the inner eye. I'm talking about like pictures outside, whether it's a billboard, whether it's a truck, a picture in a truck, or someone's house, or those kind of things. Number 23, that this is a deep one, and maybe I should settle myself before I actually dive into this. Intuition. Okay, there's your energy, your spirit, your guide speaking through you to intuition. Intuit. Inner knowing. Okay, I'll move on. Some people know what intuition is, but many of us confuse intuition with instinct. Intuition is much more elevated. The heart, your heart energy is involved. There is no questioning. There's this sort of deep inner knowing, and it can be, depending on your own energy, very subtle. Very, very, very subtle. And for others, it can be really profound. I've developed my intuition to a point now it's much more, I can make decisions based on intuition like that very quickly. And so quickly, I think I sometimes may shock people. And if you're one of those people working toward developing intuition, be mindful of that. When you get to that intuitive state where you're highly intuitive and you really know certain things, people are going to, it's not going to be the most welcoming method of working with individuals, because at times people think you need more information and you and the other end already know. You're done. You have it. We don't want to confuse intuition with denial either. Like, you don't want to deal with something. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about the deep inner knowing and one that is unquestionable. It's every cell in your body is in alignment with this answer or this behavior or whatever it is that you're moving through. Intuition, beautiful one. I think I will start that one and we'll go into a show one day. Love to do that. Okay, number 24, synchronicity, which is an aspect it can include intuition in some way, but I'm really referring to like orchestrated situations, coincidences, when things are aligned, they coincide, when the various things coincide, and then it almost feels like someone shooting an arrow of experience and it's going right to the target. There's no stopping it. There's no deviation. It's just, oof. Yeah. And I'm sure many of you have experienced this at one point in your life, and you kind of like do a double take and go, wow. The more work you do on yourself, the more healing, the more you elevate your maturity, the more you elevate your vibration, more of these happen for you, to the point where you worry less, focus more on the real work you're here to do, because all the other superficial stuff just kind of sit aside for a while and so on. So anyway, synchronicity. Number 25, airbound spirits like butterflies, dragonflies, moths. I'll even include things like the mist. I love studying the mist early morning above, let's say, a lake. You get so much information from that. A lot of information. And it's not always visual. Sometimes it's the intuition, it's the feelings that come through. Not feelings, just me. It's a deeper knowing that comes through, as well as a download of information. One of the best things you can do if you're feeling unsupported, overwhelmed, or whatever, is just to get up early enough that you can experience that mist above the water and just sit there, play some music, do some meditation. Really, really good. It opens portals. It opens portals to parts of yourself you may not know is there waiting for your orchestrated mastery to step in. Orchestrated mastery. Okay, I'm not sure what that meant, but okay, so moving on, number 26. Okay, I didn't mention this. No, it's coming. Your animal gods, right? Your totems. Various guys coming up, showing up, and so on. 27, automatic writing. We're going a little further than I would like to go, so I think we're going to be able to do this in time. And number 28 is readings and consultations. Why is readings and consultations at this separate location? Well, I kind of want to talk about each one briefly. Readings are not always consultations, okay? Consultation dives a little bit deeper. A reading, generally speaking, is a question and answer format. It's what it says. You're reading something. When you read, it's very linear in one way. I know linear sounds maybe restricting because I know people who do readings that are not linear. It is a little bit more restrictive than, say, you're doing consultation, which is a three-way communication, much deeper communication between souls and the individuals that are present. Consultations also are looking for solution and outcome. There's a focus, there's a deeper focus on resolution or remedy, okay? And that aspect is important, and that's why consultations really are best done by a mentor or somebody that's elevated in their studying and work, because you want the experience of that individual, especially if it's if the answer that's given is a little bit outside of the scope of just, let's say it's something to do with herbs or travel or certain specific details that you need to know. Somebody that can relate that, because the more knowledge is in the person has, as they process it through their brain, they're able to communicate this to you in a more elevated way. There are some people who will say to you that I hear and I share exactly what I hear. That is fine. Again, I'm very cautious not to speak ill of anyone. The problem with that is knowing where the source is, who's telling you this and why. Which source is coming through? Is it an elevated source, or is it one of, you know, that, is it Uncle Ruckus that passed away that's giving you advice, okay, and passing off as a credible guide? So, anyway, number 29, any kind of sound in the ear. People often talk about ringing in the ear, and of course, everything I'm saying, there is a medical or a psychological realm solution view of it. We're not talking about that. Let them deal with their part. But I'm dealing with the spiritual component. Yes, ringing in the ear is often the sign of ancestral communication. Your ancestors talking to you specifically. 30, any sign of nature can apply. One of my favorites is weather. Love it. Weather, obviously, when we say any signs of nature, we're speaking flora, fauna, and so on. So it could be animals, it could be vegetation. Really, it's broad. It's very broad. All right, the last three things that I pushed to the very end were divination, knowing, and the oracle. And the reason why I put these three at the very end is because, in my opinion, these three are the ones that once you reach at this level, to be able to provide those or to serve at that level, that's one of the highest forms. And when I say divination, we're not talking about what is it called? Ouija board, okay? I'm talking about Ifa divination, the I Ching divination, which I don't do. These are masters of forms of mastery of divination. If anybody refers to all this other stuff, pendulums are not, it's not a divination tool. It's just, I mean, it is a divination tool. The term divination is used so broadly now. But I'm really using this term in its original meaning, which is those higher forms that takes people 10, 15, 20, 30 years to master. Okay? Those form of divinations are not just on point. They have thousands of years of mastery and example to support you in elevating your work. If you find a master who's able to work with you at those levels, you hold on to that and you take every word like it's the piece of gold that it is. Not anybody can study I Ching and do it well. Not anybody can study Ifa and do it well. And yes, there are some people who are not good at it that are practicing. I get that. I'm just saying there are elevated form of the practice, and those are the ones that when you're ready, because not everybody can face that, those are the ones that eventually we all strive to connect with. And lastly, oracle divination. Okay, when I'm saying oracle here, I'm not using this word like oracle cards. Not referring as, this is the elevated form of an oracle. We're talking about, for example, the oracle of Tibet, the oracle and West Africa, Coles in West Africa. These individuals go into such depths to provide information that's usually on a global scale. They're not just talking about your husband's gonna leave you tomorrow, or just basics. This is like earthquakes are gonna happen, and this has to do with rebalancing of nature. Huge, big, top, the Oracle of Delphi, those type of things I'm talking about. Much more elevated, much higher knowing. Why did I want to bring those out, even though they're not necessarily the ones we're going to connect with every day? It's because those terms are being used a lot, but they don't necessarily mean what we think they mean. They've all been sort of, it's like everything gets desensitized eventually, or I don't want to say dumbed down, because it's not necessarily dumbing down of the word. It's just they become more layman terms. They get used every day, but the original meaning is lost, or at least it's no longer has the same weight, the same definition. So dive a little deeper into those. So there we have it. I've just covered about 33 different ways that your spirits can, your spirits, your oracle, your energies, entities, familial, nature, ancestors, what else? Your star, and so on, can communicate with you. These are all the various tools. And like I mentioned much earlier in the conversation, is that this list is actually endless. Okay? You could keep going. But I wanted to pick the 33 that are most common and also try to demystify some of the in-depth hidden secrets, and also remove some of the dust that's been sprinkled over some of these terms. So I hope that was useful. So lastly, we're going to talk about what I mentioned earlier, which was, are you insulting your spirits? Okay. Well, there's two more things. I'm going to talk about solutions and then this. So are you insulting your spirits? The answer is possibly. If you insult people in day-to-day, whether you mean to or not, why wouldn't we think that we wouldn't be insulting spirits occasionally because of the way we're presenting the information, the question we're asking, the way we show up? Anybody and everybody that is human is probably going to be insulting somebody, including spirits, at some point in their life. What I'm concerned about is some of us do it so much that it becomes a character flaw. Okay? What I mean by that is if you're showing up raggedy with horrible questions that are focused on really low-level issues that you could resolve on your own and really need to work on your own, yeah, you might be insulting your ancestors, especially if you have elevated ancestors that are coming to you to support you to do some of the higher-level work you came here to do, and you're constantly calling upon them to get you a job when they're giving you these talents and abilities to be able to manifest income in so many other creative ways. So, yeah, quite possible. We all do it. I'm not saying that anyone is above the law or above this crime. What I'm saying is be careful about making it a character flaw or it becoming a part of your character where you're just showing up out of desperation all the time. And often people who beg in prayer, please, please help me, please, please. And they said that maybe 6 months ago, and 6 months later they're still saying, please, please help me. And 10 years later, please, I don't know why, I can't get any help. Blah, blah. Maybe it's a different strategy. Maybe you need to do some of the work first, and then you'll get some of the other help that you need. So that's just a warning to those who like to beg. And I'm laughing and giggling because nobody really wants to beg or likes to beg. And I want to be cautious about this because often people are in pain when they are going into this a space of begging. Or the key is to remember is begging doesn't solve the problem that you have. You have to elevate yourself. And then your spirits can meet you at a higher level to support you as needed. Grace comes whether you're begging or not. Grace will come when you're just doing what you need to do. Now, I've seen that many, many, many times in my life where I've received the grace of Spirit, the grace of my Creator, just by doing what I needed to do instead of asking for someone else to do it for me, something else to do it for me. Important. Okay. The last thing is, what are some of the solutions? Actually, I don't know if it's a solution, but some tips, maybe that's the best way I can word it. When you're developing or communicating with your spirits. I've covered this in other podcasts before, so this is just a little additional or reminder. Give yourself time to get it. This is not easy, especially if it was sort of beaten out of you, whether physically, emotionally, spiritually, to not talk to, quote-unquote, dead people or not talk to subtle energies, however it was worded. So if you're coming from a tradition where this was the fear was embedded in your psyche, you may have to work on that first, how to remove the fear, and also you may have to just study, to just learn things. You may have to work on your emotional capacity to handle certain things. There's nothing wrong with realizing that your emotional capacity is weak or was weakened by your development. In other words, you're immature. If you're immature and you're able to say, okay, I just said it. But if you look at yourself one day and you go, wow, that was really immature of me. Now, I don't know who's going to do that, but some of you might, right? And there's books, there's community groups, there's all these other tools out there that can help you. There's also people that you can talk to. Get a mentor. I don't like talk about this often enough, but that's what I do. I can help people elevate themselves. I am the aha moment giver. I was talking to a good friend of mine the other day about my spiritual work, and I said, you know, that's what I do. I people have these aha moments when they're talking to me a lot. It's like, and you know, sometimes we need aha moments to develop. So get a mentor, get one that is in alignment with what you need. Don't just select one just because it was an ad or somebody was talking about it on the radio. Find the right person for you, okay? But give yourself time. Give yourself time. It may take you months. It may take you years to get to a space of where you will consider yourself to have divine speech and communication with your spirits and entities, okay? Not all spirits are elevated or gods, okay? No, and I went into that in depth with our ancestral communication podcast. Okay, not all spirits are gods. Just like you have a head and you have feet, and you have toe cells, and you have eye cells, and finger cells, you know, cells that develop just to create fingers. Same thing with entities. You've got toe entities, and all they do is they're close to the ground. They're very close to the earth. And, still have, you know, much of their ego intact and probably in the realm of cravings and all sorts of stuff. And if you reach out to them and they recognize you, understand, they may be pulling you in those directions. So recognize not all spirits are gods, not all spirits are elevated, not all spirits are enlightened. In our African traditions, there was a clear distinction between elevated ancestors and those that passed away, that just died. If somebody just died, doesn't make them an elevated ancestor. If that person was a criminal, vicious, individual, wicked in their ways, harmful to the society, I'm not quite sure you want to keep pulling that energy back into your community by calling on them. It's just not wise. Okay? So, number three solution, ask better questions. I went over that earlier. It's a practice. It's something that takes time, especially if you're not good at it initially. We can all do better. We can all do better. Learn to ask better questions. And I just realized number four, I just touched on. Have a mentor. Have elders you can speak with and listen to. When it comes to elders, your best method is to just listen because you're not trying to change anything. When it comes to elders, you got two great questions you can ask them. How and why? So they tell you something about something that happened 20 years ago. How and then why? Tell me more. There's other things you can ask elders. Now, some of what they say may not necessarily be useful because not every elder is elevated. What you're looking for is those nuggets of high-level information that can help you. Because remember, that's one way that the Creator speaks to you is through people, places, and things, right? So elders, because they've got so much more experience of a pool of experience to pull from, they can have so much to share. So there you have it. I've gone over for the first time, well, maybe not the first time, I've gone over my one-hour commitment to give you a nice, big, juicy, and final podcast on the sacred art of divine speech and communication before we move to YouTube in July. So next week, I will not be here. There will not be any streaming next. I'll actually be something else. So look for us on July the 6th. Let me double check time. Yep, July 6th, Thursday at 5:30 p.m. It'll now be on YouTube. That's where we're going to get started. So thank you for listening. I really appreciate it. Whether you're listening now or you're listening 10 years from now, I am grateful for you. Have a fantastic rest of your day. Thank you so much.
Thank you for listening to Horizon Radio. If you like what you just heard, please pass along our web address to your family and friends and colleagues. And be sure to check out our previous podcast. And this show has been a Soto 22 production. Visit us online at soto22.net. Please join us next time for another edition of Horizon Radio.